Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city. On a hill.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, or we will try to rejoice. Amen. Oh, dear. I'm telling you, I had a time trying to get this program going today. My computer is acting up, and somebody is trying to put some kind of virus on here, and I keep taking it off, and it keeps coming back, and it slows down your machine. You know, when you try to click, and it takes, like, minutes before you would, like if you're trying to check a box, and it won't check the box for like a couple minutes. It just hangs and hangs. Oh, dear. So frustrating because we've become so dependent on our computers. And I use my computer for this broadcast, so I need it. And when it's not working correctly, it just is very frustrating. But anyway, I'm here, and we're going to get this program underway. I just wanted to remind you that we do have a website, propheticnews.com, and also our YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio. And so those things are available for you. And don't forget, there are a few other radio programs on Blog Talk Radio. We have Jackie Elnor with Rapture Ready Radio and the Wolf Tracker, and also our brother Vince, who has Truth Sharks. Those are a few that I would recommend. Of course, there's many, many others, and we thank God that we have this outlet. We don't know how long we're going to have this outlet on Blog Talk Radio, but anybody can have a program here on Blog Talk Radio, actually. If you wanted to do a 15-minute program, it's free. So, and, of course, you always have YouTube, too, which is free. And it doesn't cost you anything except that you need a computer and you need a internet connection so that you can do your broadcast, and you can also put your videos up or whatever you wanted to do or to say on YouTube. I would like to see many, many more people out there talking about the end times and talking about the great apostasy that we're seeing today, especially in what they call the church, but it's far from the real church that the Lord Jesus Christ started and what He has planned for us. So we need more voices out there because we want to see a change. I noticed that on my local channel, my satellite network, that we didn't get the Impact Network, but now we're getting this Impact Network, and I think it's Wayne T. Jackson. I'm not sure, but I think it's that's who it is. And I think he's the guy that, if you go on YouTube, he has these ceremonies where he supposedly ordains men, or he consecrates them, or whatever he does. And he lays on top of these men. These men, now, this is really strange, and I can't believe that people allow themselves to be abused in this manner. Grown men, anyway. The men lay down on the floor. They're on their face on the floor on this dirty carpet. And then Wayne comes over, Wayne T., and he's all dressed up in a dress and everything. It's like, are you serious? So, you know, when people start wearing these funny costumes, and I have to question now, why do you put on a costume? Because you can't take yourself seriously as a preacher of the gospel, because God lends us his word. He gives us this book, and we quote it, so that doesn't make us anything special. So you can't take yourself seriously. We're just a mouthpiece, really, for the Lord Jesus. It doesn't make anybody anything special. And then people try to put titles in front of their names, and then they come and they're dressed in these funny costumes, and they demand respect, you know. But they're just a bunch of flesh going somewhere to happen like all the rest of us. So anyway, Wayne T., he lays on top of these men, and these men let him do it. Now, he defends this practice because he said, well, this is holy. Now, I don't think so. Like, there is no way I am going to a church building and laying on a dirty carpet with my face in the carpet with my nice pretty dress on. I'm not going to do it, number one. And then I'm not going to have any man or woman jump on top of me and lay on top of me when I'm on the floor. I'm just not going to do it. I mean, you know, why? So why do people allow themselves to be made fools out of when it's only God can ordain you, and we're all ordained of God to preach the gospel. We've all been called to be ministers of reconciliation. We all have a mouth. We all have a Bible. We are all supposed to witness to people and to bring the gospel, the good news to people. So why in the world people allow themselves to be humiliated in this manner? I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. Like I said before, yes, sometimes you do need to have a license to perform marriages and funerals and to go into prisons. There are certain things where you do need ordination papers to get a license to perform these duties. But ultimately, we're all responsible for our lives before God. We all have to answer to God for our lives. We have to answer to God for what we tell people and how we present the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we don't present the gospel of Jesus Christ deceitfully. We don't do it for filthy lucre's sake. We don't do it to enrich ourselves. We do it because we realize the importance of the Word of God. And truly, the Word of God is the seed, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which is sown into men's hearts. And we expect to see a harvest with a changed life. That's the seed. There is no such thing as a financial seed. Con artists, preachers want you to think that there's such a thing as sowing a financial seed to get a financial harvest. My Bible says that if I need anything from God, all I have to do is ask. I don't have to put some money on an altar and burn incense and give him flowers and candy. That's a Hindu practice. So did you ever see those people in these countries where they worship Buddha and they worship all these different idols and they have statues of their idols, and they have to bring something and set it on an altar to these idols in order to get these idols to answer their prayers? Well, it's basically the same thing that we're seeing today in what they call the church, which is not the church. That's not the church, where you have to bring God, they say, you have to bring God something, because if you don't bring him something, then he's mad at you and he won't do anything for you. But that's not a Christian practice, and that's not a New Testament practice, because nobody did that to Jesus. They didn't do it. So if they didn't do it to Jesus, and we're followers of Jesus, we follow his word, we follow what he tells us to do. So if they didn't do it to him, then we don't do it. We don't do it. So I don't care what Mike Murdoch says, or Rod Parsley says, or Richard Roberts says, or Kenneth Copeland says, or Creflo Dollar says, or T.D. Jakes, or any of them. I don't care what any of them say. If my Jesus didn't do it, then I'm not listening to you. I'm just going to turn you off. And that's what I would like to see more people do, is to stop supporting these people, because they only hang around because they're like leeches, and they know that if they hypnotize you long enough, then you'll send them some money, because they use their speech and their powers of persuasion to convince you. They'll spend a half hour or an hour on a television program, and it's all geared around the offering. But if you quit sending them offerings, then they'll go away, because they won't they won't have any money. And television time is expensive. They don't give you television time, not on these networks anyway. It can cost $5,000 an hour or a half hour on some of these networks, even more. I haven't checked the prices recently, but it's very, very expensive to be on television. So that's why they have to keep coming up with new ways to pick your pocket and to get you to part with your hard-earned cash. Look, most people that are in churches are hard-working 9-to-5 people. These are people that work hard. And there are no get-rich-quick schemes. It doesn't exist. We're not supposed to go running after riches. If you look in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Proverbs 28:22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. If you look at people like Mike Murdoch and some of these people, they look at their eyes. Yeah, they have evil eyes. And considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. And we see that. We've seen it happen with quite a few of these prosperity preachers, where they make haste to be rich, and then poverty comes upon them. Let's say, for instance, Richard Roberts is a prime example, because here's Richard Roberts, one of the golden boys, we'll say, because he inherited everything that his father built. His father built this tremendous university, built a television ministry, a worldwide ministry, built a City of Faith hospital complex. Oh, it cost $80 million or more at the time when he built it, which later went bankrupt, and they had to close up the hospital. And I think they even closed up, they had a medical school, I think, at ORU. I don't think they have that anymore. And Richard took over his father's ministry, and he ran it into the ground. It was $50 million in debt, and he wound up losing everything and was arrested for drunk driving and basically run out of Tulsa. And now he's living in Florida, close to Tampa, and he's hooked up with Randy White now, him and Randy White. And what a combination, another loser that managed to blow how many tens of millions of dollars And so look in Proverbs. There's some great scriptures. Proverbs 28:11, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Really, who wants to be rich and then you're a pervert? It's just not worth it. There's nothing wrong with being rich. If you inherited money from your family, or if you worked and you're rich, that's fine. That's none of my business what you do with your money. That's your money. You earned it, and it's none of your business. Because we see people on television, they want socialism, and they want to take money away from rich people and give it to poor people. Well, somebody had to earn that money. Somebody was smart enough to earn it and to work for it. So it's none of our business what they do with their money. They don't have to give it to you. You want money, work for it. Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You're the servant to the lender. Did you borrow money recently and then you missed a payment? Like, doesn't the borrower, like, never leave you alone? You're their servant. They harass you. They hound you. They'll take you to court. They'll sue you. They'll garnish your wages. The borrower wants your money. That's the way it is. Proverbs 18:11, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit. So Proverbs 14:20, now this is true. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor. Well, yeah, poor people are looked down on. But the rich hath many friends. Yeah, if you're rich, you have a lot of friends. Oh, yeah, everybody wants to be your friend because they want to see if they can get something from you. And leave people alone. Just leave them alone. Like I said, if you want money, get a job or make a job for yourself. I was looking at Craigslist the other day, and I'm looking at house cleaners. Okay, house cleaners. Well, they want to come and clean your house, and they want $145 to come and clean. Now, $145. Like, what are you going to do? Yeah. So you can make a job. You don't have a job, make one. There's always something you can do for somebody else. And then there was a handyman. He was working for a cabinet company. So $75 for the first hour to come to your house. Yeah. So, like I said, if you need money, you can make a job. And God will bless you, but don't covet somebody else's goods, and don't be envious of your neighbor because they have more than you. And especially don't believe these wicked so-called prosperity preachers that promise you the world if you just send them an offering, because you'll be in trouble the next time I see you. You'll be in worse trouble. Especially like they say, they like to tell you now, put it on your credit card. Make more debt, right? Make more debt, and you'll really be in trouble. But anyway, we are in a very, very frightening time in world history. Of course, with the tragic events this past week in California. If anybody cares to study the history of Islam, it is not a peaceful religion. Throughout its history, they fought violent wars, even the Crusades, where they were fighting over Jerusalem, which they're still fighting over today. But they do not have a peaceful history. Now, can you imagine this couple from California there? The woman came from Saudi Arabia, and the man was born in this country. So he was born here. He went to school here. He had a very good job. He was making, of course, you can't believe the news reports, so who knows how much he was making, because some say he was making $50,000 a year. Some say he was making $70,000 a year. He had a very good job. And then he goes, and the people he worked with for many, many years, even the person he sat next to, he shot. He went there, and him and his wife, they leave their six-month-old baby at home, and they go and they kill 14 people and wound, I don't know how many, over 20 people, 30 people, whatever, they wounded and left for dead there. And then they also left pipe bombs behind. It was only by the grace of God that those things didn't go off. But what goes through someone's head on a day like that, where a wife and a mother will leave her child motherless and fatherless, and they go out on a killing spree? And what made them think that they were going to live after they had the shootout there in their car, shooting it out with the cops? How did they think they were going to outgun the cops there? So the one of the things, too, that was very frightening about that incident is the fact that they got into the building and nobody saw them coming in, and the get-up they had on. They had these get-ups on and these black outfits, and they were in masks, and they had to get into the building. Nobody saw them coming in. They had to walk down a hall, apparently, to get to the room where they were going. And they weren't spotted, and they got away with shooting all these people. The guns that they had, the rifles they had, they say were fixed where they could shoot 100 bullets a minute, if you could believe that. And they managed to do all this, and then they managed to get in their car and get away. Now, that's pretty frightening, that nobody in that building had a gun. Nobody had a way to stop them. They were going, I guess, to their next point where who knows what they were going to do. But what makes people do that? And then especially in the name of a God. Very, very strange. Very, very strange. And no heart at all. There was a man that worked with this man who was a Messianic Jew. And maybe some people don't know what a Messianic Jew is, but that's a Jewish person, a person that's accepted Jesus. So there was a man there that worked next to him, a Messianic Jew, and I guess had witnessed to him. Now, I have personal knowledge of witnessing to a Muslim. They get very angry. Oh, say something about Muhammad, or say something about their religion, or say something about Abraham and Ishmael, or Abraham and Isaac. Try it and see their reaction. It is not a friendly, peaceful reaction. They get very, very angry. Very angry. So the motivation, you could see the motivation, it's not rational motivation. Even for a woman, this wife of his, to commit the crimes that she did. No, these are not rational people. And if anybody in my listening audience has witnessed to a Muslim, and if you'd like to call in, I'd be happy to hear from you and hear what your experience was. And also, if you pin it down and you ask the question, ask the question to a Muslim that lives in America, who would you be loyal to if it came right down to it? Are you going to be loyal, a loyal citizen of this country and abide by our laws here in this country? Or are you going to be loyal to Allah? Ask them. If they'll be honest with you, really. Because I don't think most of them come here because they want to live in America and just blend in. I think they have an agenda for taking over the world for Islam. And whoever thought they were going to see the day when they were going to have a mosque, even in my county, which is a small county, a little over 200,000 people, and there's a mosque here, and it's fairly new. So we never had so many mosques in this country. And so it's very, very frightening, really, and very perplexing the way these people behave, the way they conduct themselves. And it's very, very tragic for the people involved there in California, the families, and this six-month-old baby now that's left without a mother or a father, and left to grow up with these memories, really, of what her mother and father did. It's not going to be easy for this child. I thought that it was very telling, too, that they showed pictures of their apartment, and there was a book in the apartment, I guess, that was for the child, and the book said, Muslim Manners. In other words, teaching Muslim manners. Yeah, teaching Muslim manners. What kind of manners was that for the parents? How ironic that that book was there in their apartment for their child. Very strange. Very strange. But we know that Jesus, and I noticed today when I was doing this word study, if you look up the word tribulation, now, I looked it up in the King James Version. I like the King James Version the best. I like the fact that it had of the words, and I noticed that, I didn't look at all the translations, but I noticed that in the NIV translation, the word tribulation only comes up one time. So if the word's not there, then people are not going to really buy into the word tribulation because it's not in their Bible. So it was only appeared once. It appears 22 times in the King James, the word tribulation. So if the word's not in your Bible, like the word heretic is not in some of the translations, then you're not going to know what a heretic is. You're also not going to know what tribulation is because it's not in your Bible. So Jesus said, and this is a promise from Jesus because he said it, and if he said it, that means it's going to happen. But he said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, but in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. So if Jesus promised us tribulation, then we are going to go through some tribulation here on the earth. And you can't confess it away. It's going to happen. And we're seeing it happen. So Like I said, there's about 22 scriptures with the word tribulation in it in the King James, and that would make an interesting study if you wanted to study the word tribulation and end times. And it would help you to understand, really, the days we're in. And we see that the days that we're in, when they call good evil and evil good, we're seeing that. We're seeing that happen. So anyway, that's some of the news. And if you go on to some of the news websites, you'll see even there's a picture of the wife, and, you know, very pretty girl, very sad how she became radicalized, and they lived among us, befriended the Americans that they knew, and then went and shot them. Just awful. So they didn't want to call it what it was. It made me so upset when I was watching the news reports, and that's why you really can't believe much of what you hear on the news, because they kept misreporting things. They can't get their facts straight. And if you can't get your facts straight, don't report the news. They didn't want to call it a terrorist attack. Well, what was it then? Nobody goes and just runs home and gets their rifle and runs back. They had to have all this ammunition stored. They had their outfit stored. They were making these explosives in their garage. So all of it was planned. Planned. So that's another thing. The news media, they didn't want to call it what it was. And then they kept misreporting things. So that's why, no, you can't believe everything that you hear on the news. You really have to do your homework and find out what the truth is to get to the bottom of the story, because I never saw such terrible reporting. I've seen some terrible reporting, but they did, especially CNN. They like to not interpret the facts correctly, because they have to have something to say. So they have to fill the airtime. So they just keep repeating the false information. So finally, you'll believe the false information. And then you find other people repeating the false information, and it's not the facts. But anyway, we reported a few months ago where Kim Clement, and most of you probably know who he is, he's a false prophet. Well, he calls himself a prophet, Prophet Kim Clement, but he's very frightening. You can go on his website, and you can see it for yourself that he claims that you don't have to be born again. So if he, and it's there on his website, so I didn't make it up. It's there. And if I can find it for you, my computer is acting up again. I'm trying to bring up these stories, and it's hanging. So I probably won't be able to find it. But if you go on his website, I think it might be under his beliefs. Usually on people's websites, they have beliefs or what we believe. And you'll see that Kim Clement says that you don't have to be born again. Well, I guess Jesus said you had to be born again, but Kim says, nah, you don't have to be born again. No. So, and then Charisma Magazine, dopey Charisma Magazine, calls him a prophet. So, Charisma Magazine, excuse me. But anyway, there's a story in there where he's back in the hospital with another brain aneurysm. He was in the hospital a couple months ago where he had a stroke and he had to have brain surgery. And then supposedly, you know, God was giving him all these miracles. So he went home from the hospital, but he's back in the hospital now with another brain aneurysm. So we'll see what happens here. Because these men, they like to say that they're making their faith confessions and they're rebuking the devil and all that, and but they're not getting any better, because you can only get miracles from God. You can only get miracles from God. So it doesn't matter how many times you confess things. It's up to God, really. So it has nothing to do with you making the confession 500 times. And if you make the confession 500 times, then, of course, God's obligated to do it. But it doesn't work that way. You can only get healing from God. And if he doesn't give you a miracle, then you're not getting it. And you might get the ultimate miracle, which is death, because to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And most Word of Faith people, if you die, and especially if you die sick, they think like you committed some kind of crime, because they talk about heaven and how great it is to be to see Jesus, but yet they don't want anybody to go there, because if you go there, you didn't have enough faith, or you didn't say the right words or something. But the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. So we all have an appointment with death, and we can't change that. We can't change that. So when it's your time, you're going. And also, Rod Parsley now, and I'm going to play a few clips here from Rod Parsley, because Rod Parsley is another one now. Rod Parsley claims he's a great man of faith, and he claims that recently that he got a miracle from this throat cancer that he came down with, where he was out of his pulpit for over 100 days, and he couldn't talk, and then he had to have 28 radiation treatments, and then he came back and said he got a miracle. Well, that's not a miracle, because if you get a miracle, you don't need 28 radiation treatments. And so he comes back basically from the dead, and then he keeps scamming people. He didn't stop scamming. He just kept no repentance from Rod Parsley. No, I'm sorry, I must apologize to the body of Christ for using my voice to scam people in the name of Jesus. Nothing like that from him. No, nothing. Just goes right on, and he says that now he's got a 7 times more powerful anointing because he's gone through this. And then he was selling, he had Kenneth Copeland over there at his so-called church a couple weeks ago, and they had a hanky service where they had these little rags that they had there, like my friend the Wolf Tracker likes to call them rags, and they were telling you, look, we're going to pray over these things, and then you send us an offering, and we'll send it back to you. And it's been sitting on this anointed altar. And after all, I had throat cancer, and I'm back now, and I have a 7 times greater anointing. So you all better send for this prayer cloth. But I noticed that I look in at Rod's services now and then just to see what's happening over there at World Harvest Church, because, of course, they don't get the crowds that they used to have. You'll see that black curtain hanging up in the back, which one of the brothers that called in attended there for 15 years, Todd Harrington, let us know that there was a black curtain hanging in the church, and that was to block the empty seats. And if you go to iHarf TV or Rod Parsley's Breakthrough Program, and you ever see the inside of his so-called church building, you'll see the black curtain hanging in the back, and that's to cover up the empty seats. So anyway, I noticed that Rod has not been in church the past few Sundays. He wasn't there Wednesday. And so he's not coming to church since his miraculous healing, and neither is his wife. And I didn't see his wife. I didn't see his daughter or his son. They're not showing up. So I think something is not quite right there with Rod. And they claim that he had some kind of a back problem. He injured his back or something, and he had to take medication or whatever. So he hasn't been showing up. But I think all is probably not well there with Rod Parsley. Now, I don't wish him any ill will or anything like that. It's just that what I would like to see from Rod Parsley is I would like to see real repentance, to really have a life-changing experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, because people that really know Jesus, now all of us, we probably believe things we shouldn't have believed from the Bible, and thank God the Lord rescued us out of that. But I see no repentance from Rod Parsley. I don't see him admitting to his scamming. I don't see him admitting to using the Word of God deceitfully. That's what I want to see from Rod Parsley, because he's not well. No, he's not well. And cancer is a very tricky thing. I've known people that have had cancer. Sometimes the doctors claim that you're 100%, you have no more cancer, and then within weeks or within 2 years it comes back, because that's how cancer is. It's a horrible disease, and very, very hard to get rid of cancer unless you do get a miracle. That's about the way you get rid of it. But anyway, looking at Rod Parsley's program, one of his breakthrough programs that's on his website, and he had on Mike Murdoch. And if you go there, really, it's very frightening, this video. You'll see it if you go to rodparsley.com, and I think you click on television, and it'll bring up this Rod Parsley video with him and Mike Murdoch. And I swear, Mike Murdoch looks drunk in this video. He looks like he's drugged up or drunk or something. He looks horrible. And of course, his hair is thinning out, and he's looking his age. I think he's only in his 60s, but he looks like he's in his 70s. And he looks like he needs a good night's sleep, like he's been leading a very rough life. Go look at this video. You'll scream. It's frightening. So anyway, I know that I did get an email from someone about two years ago or so, and it was a repairman that had gone into Mike Murdoch's house, and he told me that Mike Murdoch had a room and it was all full of toupees. So you ever notice, like, when people do the comb over? So he's got his hair combed over in the front. But if you look at this video that he did with Rod, he hasn't even been bothering too much with putting his toupees on. And of course, there was and I haven't been able to verify the book that was written by a man that claims that he, and I know that he did do this, because he was caught doing it. So he went into Mike Murdoch's house and he robbed him. He robbed his safe. And he got the safe out of the house, and of course, when he drove away with the safe, there was nothing in it. But he had been in Mike Murdoch's house, and he claims that there was pornography in the house, and there was all these gold coins and jewelry that this huckster had taken off the fingers of some poor old widows, probably. Oh, give us your jewelry and we'll use it for the gospel. No, he stores it up in his closet. But anyway, this man is low. I mean, low. So who does Rod Parsley have on his program? He's got Mike Murdoch. Yeah. And it's Dr. Murdoch. Yeah. Dr. Murdoch. And they're both patting themselves on the back. And Rod, he's all excited because he's got Mike on there. And they're going to tell you about this. You know, it's the year of Jubilee. You didn't know that? I thought every day with Jesus was a Jubilee. Didn't you? I didn't know that God had a special day. God has special days. This is what they're saying. This is a time that, don't let this time pass you by, because you might miss your moment here. And they're trying to tell you that God's got this special day, and he's got a special year that if you send $112 over there to Rod, you know, that God is going to do something very special for you. I didn't know that God, the God that I know, I didn't know that he did that. I didn't know that he had special days where there's only special days, and if you miss these days, then God can't bless you. I didn't know that, because every day that I wake up, God blesses me. So, I don't know. You know, Mike Murdoch and Rod Parsley, they just make stuff up. But anyway, I'm going to play a little bit of this audio. And if you want to go and look at this frightening video, it is frightening. It's on rodparsley.com. Here you go. It's about 3 minutes, this clip.
Well, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, the devil tried to stop that, and he lost, because all power in heaven and earth is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that power is going to be released to you today in an unusual and uncommon way right here on your breakthrough, where we are celebrating, we are commemorating this God-ordained, God-appointed year of Jubilee. Now remember, this year has not occurred in the cycle of God announced in the heavens for over 500 years, and it will not occur again for another 50 years. And that's not just rhetoric, my friend. I am absolutely overwhelmingly convinced, I've made up my mind, that there's something of great, great significance that God wants to release. Can you imagine that? The Almighty God, who hung the earth on nothing, wants to release an unusual blessing into your life in this year that he called Jubilee. And I've invited none other than my wonderful friend, my mentor, man that's uncommonly used of God to bring his people into the wisdom of God, the phronesis, sunesis, Sophia, wisdom of God. Dr. Mike Murdoch is here. He's going to help you prepare your spirit to receive. He taught us last night, I'm a world-class receiver. And that's who you are today, right here on your breakthrough. You're about to receive all that God has for you in this designated year of Jubilee. Now, he's the founder, senior pastor, the Wisdom Center, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You see him, of course, on Wisdom Keys with Mike Murdoch. He's authored hundreds and hundreds of books, written thousands and thousands of songs. Extraordinary accomplishments. I'm so glad that he made time to be with us and open God's marvelous truth into your heart. Are you ready to receive it? Better get your heart wide open. Welcome, Mike Murdoch, back to the High Def Studios Breakthrough. Great to have you. My joy. And all over the world, people send me messages to tell you they love you.
Oh, thank
you.
They're
praying for you. Preachers all over the world admire you.
I love you.
You're the seed in their life that causes us to blossom.
Thank you.
Thank you for this privilege. And I'm thrilled. I am thrilled to be at your home today. This is huge. I can't cannot change your life till I change the voice you trust. You're where you are because of mentorship. Mentorship is learning from someone else's losses. Mentorship is learning without the season of waiting.
This guy, you know, where did this guy come from? You know, he's gonna this is the year that there hasn't been a year like this for 500 years. Wow, 500 years there hasn't been a year like this. And then he's gonna bring on his good friend, Dr. Murdoch. Yeah, Dr. Murdoch. Here's another clip. Now I only have about 8 minutes left here. I try to change the length of this program today, but apparently the computer was hanging, so it didn't let me. But this is about a 3-minute clip, so let's listen to this last clip here from Murdoch and Rod. If you want to be entertained, go ahead and look at
10% to our church, and at the end of 1 year, if you're not fully satisfied, I'll give you your money back.
Okay, here we go. This thing is hanging, so it's... Here we go.
We'll create anything I've been promised. God had a son, but he wanted a family. He planted his son to create a family. Here we are. A young husband plants a seed in the womb of his wife, and a child is born. A farmer plants seed. Isn't that glorious? Into the soil. Now, seed is impotent until there's a covenant. Seed will not grow without the right soil. If you don't believe that, throw a bunch of watermelon seeds on the carpet there in your living room while you're sitting there and tell me how it happens. So this seed that we enter into the kingdom of God. Father, I ask you for 1,000 to receive a territorial anointing.
Yes.
I ask you for 1,000 to have a debt-free home like you gave to me. A home that makes our enemies jealous. A home we're not ashamed of.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus,
yes.
I decree it so. You cannot buy a miracle with $112 million, but you can sow a seed, enter into a covenant. The number's on the phone. I'm going to ask you swiftly and quickly, please write our telephone number down. For 24 hours, we're going to open this up for the 112 covenant. We'll try to call you on the telephone to see if you want to be a part of this, because it could be a once in a lifetime. You may never hear this invitation again. Based on the Word of God, and by the way, you're not just going to get my book, 31 Days of Wisdom. You're going to get this incredible Bible. This is the most beautiful Bible I've ever seen.
Thank you.
Man, go to the phone. Why are you just sitting there waiting? Get off that recliner. Reach for the telephone and say, I want to join. I want to be one of the 1,000. I'm joining the 112 covenant. Please write down in your Bible when you get it the day that you enter the 112 covenant and journal the blessings. Amen.
There's a place right in that Jubilee Bible for them to do that, Dr. Murdoch. Got it right in there for them to journal their miracle. Now listen, this is it. There's agreement here. A three-stranded cord's not easily broken. One chases 1,000, but two put 10,000 to flight. If any two of us on earth agree, touching anything that we shall ask, it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. This is your opportunity. Be one of 1,000 112 covenant partners. Begin it today. Dial that number on your screen right now. Go to rodparsley.com. We'll give you all the information right there. We want to come in covenant with you. Mortgages to be paid off. in this year of Jubilee. Mortgage, Dr. Murdoch says, means stranglehold. A miracle is waiting. Go to your phone. Go to robparsley.com. Do it.
Well, what can I say? You can't make this stuff up. These people never quit. Now, imagine that. Oh, 1,000 people to send in $112. So that's a pretty good haul, isn't it? But anyway, save your money. Tell your friends to save your money. I don't know how God, in any way, why is it so important for you to have a house that your enemies are going to hate? Oh, they're going to hate you for having such a nice house. Well, you're certainly not going to get a house because you send Mike Murdoch any money. And I don't know if you ever saw his house, but it's ugly. It's one ugly-looking house. There is a video of it because it's for sale. And, okay, it's a big house, and it's on a big plot of land there outside of Dallas. But it's ugly. And I wouldn't be jealous of that house. And we're not supposed to be envious of anybody else's houses or their cars or whatever, because like I said before, it's none of our business what other people have. If they worked for it and got it honestly, that's how you get things, is you work and you live in a life of integrity, and somehow if God wants to bless you miraculously, that's up to him, but he's not going to give you any more than you can handle. You don't do that with your own children, so God's not going to do it to you either. He's not just going to hand things out to you, and it's going to spoil you. So we thank God every day for the blessings that he has given us, a roof over our head and food on our table, and the many things he has provided. If he wants to bless us, it's up to him. All we have to do is ask, and he'll give it to us, as long as we don't consume it on our lust, he says. So, yeah, Brother Vince, yeah, you have a migraine. But anyway, if you want to be entertained today, go over and look at that video, and you'll see for yourself how bad Murdoch really does look. He really does look like he has a hangover. It's rodparsley.com, and I think it's if you click on television. And that's the video that comes up. You'll see the 112. Video with him and Murdoch, but anyway, that's about all the time we have for today, and I want to thank you all, thank you everybody that listens to the program and that emails me. I love hearing from you, and I'm glad you're being blessed. So we want people, at least one warrior in every town, and that has a voice for Jesus, for change, that we don't want to see what we've been seeing in the church. We want the real thing. So let's do our job and help people to come out of the darkness and glorious light. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Repent and turn from your sins. Jesus said you must be born again in the 3rd chapter of John. And read the book of Romans today, where the book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. God bless you all. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Hey, record. Here we go. I'm going to the city, I'll sit on the hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to the city, and I sit on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to the city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, on a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
into a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.